A Benson Diary, and this is by John Murphy. We start with a poem by Robert Herrick. Down with the rosemary and bays, down with the mistletoe. Instead of holly, now upraise the greener box for show. The holly hitherto did sway. Let box now domineer until the dancing Easter day or Easter Eve appear. I might complain of roadworks. I might complain of Thames water. I shall say nothing, for nothing shall come of my mentioning these things. Benson endures. So for small mercies, let's be grateful. Winter has also decided to give us a break. For a couple of weeks, we've enjoyed nothing but blue skies, sweet spring sunshine, amorous birdsong, and a mildness that has coaxed the shyest crocuses to bloom and the coyest of daffodils to nod in early surprise. And with daffodils come memories of my mum and of Robert Herrick, whose sweet daffodils we weep to see then fade away so soon. Mum would recite word perfect upon their cue, and his poem therefore was descant to the daffodils coming for most of my life. Herrick is an interesting figure from the poetic culture of the 17th century. Born as he was in the last decade of Elizabeth's first reign, 1591, and dying in 1674, as good King Charles's golden days had become tarnished with political rancour. Herrick was neither a metaphysical poet nor a Caroline lyricist, but ploughed a distinctive furrow all his own, writing well over 2,000 poems, many in the Carpe Diem genre, many with well-known lines like "Gather ye rosebuds whilst you may," and many of which have subsequently been set to music, including by such luminaries as Ralph Vaughan Williams and Benjamin Britten. But I digress. Our seasons have become inconstant, one forever flirting with another, so we spin around and hardly ever know where we are from sight or sound or scent. We are also as bewildered by the months as many must have been in the dying days of the Julian calendar, when the seasons had slipped anchor from the months that were meant to hold them in their place. From where else might we find our bearings? Is there some compass that might convey us to a safely home? Even as we're aware, we live in a multicultural society and in a time when travel has brought many of us into contact with many different societies, it is a human foible to believe our own ancient traditions somehow possess a universal character. We cleave to these romantic verities, such as a white Christmas, though few of us have ever seen one. I note the King has invited our Muslim citizens into Windsor Castle to keep its first day's meal in their season of Ramadan, when each day there is a fast from dawn to dusk. Ramadan, however, like our Lent, is a movable season of fasting in the ninth month of their lunar calendar of 354 days. The date on which Easter falls also follows a lunar calendar, but it echoes that even earlier of the festival of Passover, which the Jews had observed since the time of Moses. As Easter is on the 20th of April this year, Lent was quite late beginning, with Ash Wednesday on the 5th of March, and with it we too entered a season of fasting that is to last for 40 days and 40 nights, as the hymn has it, save of course it doesn't. I was listening to Radio 4 as the presenters of More or Less tried unsuccessfully to unpick the actual number of days in Lent. They kept on getting up to over or under 40, even after quite correctly discounting Lent's Sundays. Although as I count from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday, I come to 40, even if on the days from Palm Sunday, which inaugurates Holy Week, the fast is traditionally intensified. Lest you think, however, that clears that up. If you live in Milan, Ash Wednesday doesn't exist at all. Ah, I think it best to leave things there and admit defeat. Like the seasons and the months, we are all confused by times and tides. I am of an age to recall that giving something up for Lent was still something of a conversational gambit, echoing over the tables of childhood and the classrooms of school days. Mostly, folks seemed to try to give up cigarettes, or chocolate, or sweets, or sugar in tea. However, I did once successfully give up coffee for Lent's entirety. And I remember going to the Easter Vigil with Mum, and afterwards going to a coffee shop outside South Kensington Tube Station, where I had a frothy cappuccino to much applause. Good old Robert Herrick had some observations on Lent's fast, as one might expect of a clergyman of his time. Sage advice most often appears at its wisest when its good counsel has long been ignored. And whilst I'm on this subject, I'll give vent to that annual bugbear of mine. Easter Day follows Holy Saturday, which is not Easter Saturday as oftentimes it is now called. For Easter Saturday is the Saturday after Easter. And 40 days after Easter comes Ascension, and 50 days later comes Whitsun. And then, untroubled by days and dates, we will be safely in summertime, when the living may or may not be easy. And now to finish the poem that we started with. No, 'tis a faster dole, thy sheaf of wheat and meat, unto the hungry soul. It is to fast from strife, from old debate and hate, to circumcise thy life, to show a heart grief rent, to starve thy sin, not bin, and that's to keep thy Lent.